Welcome back to Coastline. I'm your host, Rachel Lewis-Hilburn. We're talking about transportation in the Cape Fear, the big concerns, how projects are funded, and what policymakers envision for the future. Joining me in the studio now to answer your questions and talk about those plans, Laura Padgett, Wilmington City Council member and chair of the Wilmington Urban Area Metropolitan Planning Organization. Also with us today, Pat Battleman, who is a Leland Town Council member and vice chair of the Wilmington Urban Area Metropolitan Transportation Planning Organization, the planning agency that encompasses New Hanover County and parts of Pender and Brunswick counties. Welcome back.
Thank you.
If you have a question for our guests about transportation in the Cape Fear, you can give us a call at 910-343-1138 or send us an email at coastline@whqr.org. And we have Joanne from Wilmington. Welcome to Coastline. You're on the air.
Okay, this is Joanne, and I was on a committee for about 6 weeks in the area of Wrightsville Avenue toward the college about transportation. And we especially wanted to know about bike lanes down Wrightsville Avenue, since that is the thing that's really needed. And then also they talked about how to widen Wrightsville Avenue for more traffic to flow. Now, this has not been done, and it was in 1999.
Laura Padgett, is this part of the transportation bond project?
Yes, particularly the bike pass will be. Hi, Joanne.
Hi.
Nice to hear your voice. Yes, the bike lanes, there are sections of Wrightsville Avenue that were included in the bond referendum that was just passed. The widening of Wrightsville Avenue, there are environmental issues with widening Wrightsville Avenue that make it very complicated and very difficult. And I don't know that I see that as a project that's going to happen in the near future, and it may be one of those roads that is best complemented with another road, not adding lanes to that one.
Joanne, thanks so much for your call. What are some of those environmental issues, Laura?
Well, if you ride along it, a lot of the places where it's two lanes, it goes into Bradley Creek or across Bradley Creek, and that's a very wide wetland area. There are wetlands on both sides of most of it. We've tried with some difficulty at times to get people across Bradley Creek Bridge with a bike path. So there would be environmental complications with widening that road. And some social issues, too, because of the land use pattern around it.
And we have John from North Myrtle Beach. It's nice to hear from Myrtle Beach. Welcome, John.
There.
You're on the air.
Thank you very much. First, I wanted to say I agree with the previous comment about widening roads. I heard one traffic engineer put it very succinctly and said that trying to solve traffic congestion by widening roads is like trying to cure obesity by loosening your belt.
And that's a good analogy.
That
I
is
like
a good
that.
One. I think that's a keeper.
Yeah. My question is, the bicycling community, in my experience, seems to be divided. Like, the really hardcore bicyclists take the opinion that they have the right to share the travel lane with the automobile, and they think that dedicated bike lanes are not a good thing, whereas the more recreational cyclists tend to think that that there's a need for dedicated bike lanes. And I'm just wondering how the panelists fall on that question. And I would like to also hear some other bicyclists call and weigh in on that issue.
That's a great question. Laura Padgett?
I think it's mostly a safety issue. If we can keep the bike paths separated from the highway, people will be safer, whether they're using the path to get to work or because they are racing cyclists. Both my kids were avid cyclists and athletes. And having bicyclists share the road is the legal option. They have a right to share the road. And they want to, and they need to in many places. But the more paths we can provide where there is not a potential conflict between vehicles and bicyclists, the safer bicycling will be. I haven't heard any cyclists say they didn't want separated bike paths in and take away, I'll get this straight in a minute. I haven't heard anybody say that they want us to not build separate bike paths instead of marking the lanes. I think we need both in some areas.
And in Wilmington, wasn't River Road one of the first major roads to get a bicycle path? And of course, I don't know the statistics, but anecdotally,
we
hear about
very dangerous
bikers getting hit.
Very dangerous. And we have to be careful that we don't just take 3.5 feet off the side of the road and mark it and encourage cyclists where there really
is
not
enough River Road
room.
Is.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, that road needs work.
Thanks so much for your call. Jim Downey says he's listening to the program now. He saw an article on CNN Money about the Chinese seeking to build more train systems in the U.S. And he says, wouldn't a bullet train to Raleigh and one to Charlotte be great? All caps. Pat Battleman.
Absolutely. I'm with you. I think we need to identify how we can maybe make that happen. Of course, it will be a long way down the road, but it would be fantastic.
And as we talk a little more about the plan, right now there's a long-term plan called the 2035 plan. The 2040 plan is in the works, and I want to get to some of the major priorities that you're developing there. But right now, let's hear from Juanita in Wilmington. Welcome to Coastline, Juanita. You're on the air.
Yes, thanks. All the above suggestions are great suggestions, but if you want folks to currently ride the buses that we currently have available, I suggest we put up benches at every bus stop instead of making them sit on grocery carts like I see them doing at Monkey Junction, sitting on top of grocery carts waiting for the bus.
Laura Padgett, are there plans? What would you call these, mass transit amenities, putting benches at bus stops?
Yes, and we don't have enough of those, and I could go into all of the explanation reasons, which might come out sounding like excuses, but we do need more of those. The 2040 plan has a huge list of shelter locations in both Brunswick and New Hanover County, and that needs to be done. What provides money to build those to some extent are fares, and we need more people riding the bus to make those more reasonable. It is a chicken and egg. If you provide the shelters, more people will be willing to wait and ride the bus. The more people ride the bus, the more shelters we can build. So most things with mass transit could be solved with adequate funding, which we don't have.
We're back to money.
Yeah.
You're listening to Coastline. We're talking about – I'm sorry, Juanita, go ahead.
The benches are one of the least expensive things that we can do to help increase the fares, because if you – those are – as compared to a bike trail or compared to some of the other things, a bench is a pretty inexpensive thing.
Unfortunately, the benches can't just be stuck there. There has to be an engineered concrete pad – poured, and there's more than just the cost of the bench and putting it there. So there has to be a facility for it to be on, and then the bus has to be accessible. It has to be close to the bus stop, and the pad has to be, as I say, engineered. So it seems like a quick and easy thing to do. It's not quite as quick and easy as it sounds.
Juanita, thanks for your
call. But thank you. You're right.
You're listening to Coastline. We're talking about transportation in southeastern North Carolina and what's in store for this region. Joining us in studio today, Laura Padgett, Chair, and Pat Battleman, Vice Chair of the Wilmington Urban Area Metropolitan Planning Organization. If you have a question for our guests, give us a call at 910-343-1138. You can also send an email to coastline@whqr.org or tweet us using CoastlineHQR. Beth from Wrightsville Beach, welcome to Coastline. You're on the air.
Hello, Laura Padgett. This is Beth Sedlock.
How are you, Beth?
Dandy. I had a couple of questions about transportation, mostly concerning the proportion of that bond that's going to go to public transportation. And why is it that Wrightsville Beach can say they don't want a bus going down there when it's a county, WAVE is a county entity? And why don't we have sidewalks near the college? I live on Wooddale, and the kids are walking back and forth to school. There's a bike lane there. There's no sidewalk. It's the only road that connects to Wrightsville to the campus.
This is an observation that I've heard before. Is that?
I bring this up every time there's an election. I ask the person who's been on the council the longest why that street doesn't have sidewalks. We've got a lot of elderly people. I am now one of them. I'm 70 now. And I used to ride my bike a lot more than I do, only because the traffic has increased so much. It's not safe to get across the road.
Okay, Beth. Well, let's give Laura a chance to answer.
I can't honestly tell you, Beth, whether that is one of the particular sidewalk pieces that is in the bond. I would like to think it is, and I was part of the committee that picked, but it was a long list. The proportion of projects in the bond is significantly more for bike and ped and intersection projects than it is for lane and road improvements. The money may not balance the same, but the number of projects. So we are working to create sidewalks where we have gaps, and those can be financed two ways. One, through the bond money that we will issue, but we also have a capital improvement plan, and in some cases, projects are already part of that capital improvement plan. And again, there are more projects than I can specifically remember. Wrightsville Beach, you'll have to talk to the Wrightsville Beach Town Council. WAVE has tried repeatedly to get a bus to the beach, and it is their council's view that they don't want a bus, and WAVE is not likely to take people where they're not wanted. So, to be blunt, and there would have to be approval from Wrightsville Beach as a city for the buses to stop.
Beth, thanks so much for your call. You're listening to Coastline. We're talking about transportation issues in southeastern North Carolina. Joining us in studio, Laura Padgett, Chair, and Pat Battleman, Vice Chair of the Wilmington Urban Area Metropolitan Planning Organization. The number to call if you have a question for our guests is 910-343-1138. And we were talking earlier about the 2035 and the 2040 plans, and I'm sure there are many folks who aren't familiar with those terms. Pat Battleman, what is the 2035 plan and how are we using that right now?
The plan is required to be updated, I believe, every 5 years. So when I first moved here, I started to hear about the 2035 plan, and it identified areas where we thought we wanted to be by 2035.
In terms of the transportation
system. In terms of
system.
All the different elements that go into the transportation system of the area. So there are a number of ideas that were put forth back then when that plan was developed, some of which may have we've gotten them accomplished, but some that may not have. So now we're mandated to work on the 2040 plan.
So you develop a long-range plan, mm-hmm. and it's called 2035. Is that in referencing a year
yes.
by which it is to be accomplished?
Correct. And it's based on, the statistics or the estimates of where we're going to be population-wise and economic development-wise and as far as activity at the port. A lot of things go into making that determination of what we're going to need by 2035.
Then thinking about 2040, which is what you're working on now, what are the big nuts to crack there? What are the top three?
Well, aside from the top three, the number one issue is money.
Okay. So the game has changed a little bit from when, even just from the 2035 plan, when that was in development. How has it changed at the state level?
Well, I think growth has made the unanticipated, very rapid growth is what's now factoring into what we're just trying to work out for 2040.
So then logically, I would say,
don't
we expand our tax base? So then don't we have a bigger pool of money?
That depends on the way transportation is funded or not in reality in this country is complicated. And we had a cataclysmic change at the state level when Governor McCrory was elected and took a new plan to the legislature, which has been approved, and which we were all still working through the transition on that. cataclysmic to the point that North Carolina is the only state in the country that has made this type of change in how projects are funded.
And you're talking about Governor McCrory's strategic mobility formula.
Transportation Investment Plan, STI.
Mm-hmm.
We have the 2040 plan coming up, or we have the 2035 plan. Technically, the STI cannot fund anything that is not in the 2040 plan. Unfortunately, because of the way the funding is now in three tiers, which logically makes a whole lot of sense, but it's very difficult to separate and work through those three tiers. The statewide tier, which is where the biggest amount of money is, and where this region doesn't fare very well, has no input at all from the local level, none. It is supposed to be data-driven. So we're getting some projects approved for funding that are not in the 2035 plan, are not anticipated to be in the 2040 plan. And then you come down to the regional tier.
Are you saying,
and
Laura,
a local tier.
Are you saying, Laura Padgett, that there are some transportation projects that will get funded, that we'll see executed, that wouldn't be at the top of our priority list?
Yes. Yes. The MPO's authority to approve plans and to plan projects for the future has been significantly reduced with the STI. We may have a final vote. We may have a say to some extent, but we don't have enough say in the beginning of the process. And because technically the idea was to take politics out.
Right.
Life is politics. That can't happen. It isn't ever going to happen. Data is data or not, and it depends on where the data is collected, how it's used, and how it's interpreted.
Right. You're listening to Coastline. We're talking about transportation in southeastern North Carolina. If you have a question for Laura Padgett or Pat Battleman, chair and vice chair of the Wilmington Urban Area Metropolitan Planning Organization, give us a call at 910-343-1138. Vince from Wilmington, welcome to Coastline. You're on the air.
Thank you. I just have a question. I've heard ever since I moved into the Wilmington area about the need to have rapid transportation between Charlotte and Wilmington and Raleigh and Wilmington. My question is, do the powers that be in Charlotte and Raleigh have the same interest in including Wilmington, since we are really a competitive metropolitan area to them, in their long-range transportation plans?
That's a great question. Pat Battleman, are we talking with some of these larger metropolitan areas?
Not that I am aware of. Laura would probably be the better one to ask that question. But, I think population has a lot to do with where these things are going to make out and be promoted. Not to say that we shouldn't be part of it, but...
At an elected official level, it really is not going on. I think business to business, it is. And I know that there are people that on a daily basis transact business in both directions between Charlotte and Wilmington and Raleigh and Wilmington. And there should be some type of rapid transit. And in my opinion, we ought to get a little out of the box and think along the terms of really high-tech transportation systems, some of which are invented and are out there, but no one's had the gumption to put them in place yet.
Vince, thanks so much for your call.
Yeah, good question.
Briefly, Laura, what do you mean by thinking out of the box and high-tech?
People tend to see rapid transit as rapid bus transportation. And a lot of cities, Charlotte, probably Raleigh too, have rapid bus transit where it's an express ride between two particular points and the buses don't stop. But there are other Buck Rogers ideas that are out there, technologically speaking, and probably, in my opinion, car lobbies and other lobbies just don't want to see those happen.
We'll talk more about that when we come back. You're listening to Coastline here on HQR News 91.3 FM.